This is 1021 WMUK. There are Republican and Democratic primaries Tuesday in Michigan's 6th Congressional District, which includes Kalamazoo. WMUK's Andy Robbins takes a look at the race with Western Michigan University political scientists John Clark and Peter Wheelhauer.
We have an incumbent, Fred Upton, who's been in Congress since 1986. And he faces a primary opponent, Elena Welke, a realtor in Berrien County. And the Democrat is John Hoadley, who is currently a state representative in Kalamazoo, but can't run again for that because of term limits. And so now he's running for Congress. And his challenger is Jen Richardson, who is a science teacher and the director of research at the Kalamazoo Area Math and Science Center. First of all, is it unusual for a sitting incumbent of either party to face a primary opponent when running for Congress?
Well, it's not that unusual. It happens. The question is whether or not there are primary opponents that are credible, that have the political experience, that have an electoral background that would suggest that they are possible winners in the general election, such as holding previous elected office or something along those lines. So it's not terribly unusual. What is unusual is that they win. And so the question then comes down to the extent to which the more conservative wing of the Republican Party, who had off and on have been trying to primary Fred Upton for a long, long time, at least since the Tea Party days of 2008, 2010, the extent to which they can successfully strategize, fundraise, and mobilize to kick him out, especially considering that he's a relatively influential member of the party. You know, that's just a tough uphill climb for them.
I think, in part, Upton's situation is at least a little bit unusual. We've gotten together collectively and talked about whether or not Fred was going to retire for several years, for several election cycles. And so I suspect that there are occasionally candidates who are trying to position themselves to be the heir apparent on the Republican side. And it's entirely possible that, this particular candidate has chosen that path. Whether or not it's a successful path, of course, depends on lots of things, including whether or not Fred retires. And since he did decide to run for re-election yet again, there's not a lot of room on the Republican side, unless you're somebody that already has some visibility, that is someone who's able to raise money and is perhaps able to capitalize within the Republican Party on some of Representative Upton's perceived weaknesses.
Ms. Welke is an immigrant. She originally is from Ukraine and has, since she started her campaign, has indicated her support for President Donald Trump and his policies. Could this primary on the Republican side in the 6th Congressional District here in Michigan, amongst Republicans who choose to vote in that primary, is that going to turn into a referendum on the president?
Well, I think one of the challenges that she's going to face is communicating that message effectively to primary voters. That's always going to be tough, particularly when you're running against an incumbent. When you can't get out and hold rallies, shake hands, go door to door in the same way that candidates typically do, I think that makes the challenge even harder. And so perhaps it was the case if people had kind of equal amounts of information about both candidates, that might be a real asset for her in this campaign. But absent that kind of equal footing, I think it's something that she might be able to use with some people who know about it. But the challenge is making sure that voters know about it. And I think that's really an uphill battle.
I also think that if Upton were a substantially more kind of counter-narrative to Trump, if he were like a Mitt Romney to Donald Trump, then that might provide that room that a more Trumpy kind of Republican could be really competitive against him. But I think that Upton actually has tried, again, as he has successfully done over the years, is navigate between the conservative and the moderate wings of the Republican Party. He's known as somebody who's not particularly right wing. He's not known as being particularly in the pocket of Trump. On the other hand, I mean, he's just like an old school long term Republican. I had a student tell me a couple of years ago, she was she was talking about the congressional race, I think in 2018. And she basically said, well, you know, Fred Upton, he's really just Donald Trump's man. I mean, he votes with Donald Trump 90% of the time. And I said, well, that's just a Democratic talking point, because that's just like saying he's a Republican, because Republicans vote together 90% of the time. So I think that Fred, by not really being a hardline Trump supporter, but not bucking the system either, the Republican system, I think that he's angled himself to make it difficult for really right wing or really Trumpy kind of Republicans to hone in on his territory.
Well, let's talk about, you know, the other side of the primary, the Democratic side. State Representative John Hoadley of Kalamazoo facing Kalamazoo teacher Jen Richardson. It's not unusual for the party that does not hold a district to have a primary for a position of this kind. So perhaps that is to be expected. However, how would you both rate the two candidates in terms of their likelihood to succeed on August 4th?
Well, I think John Hoadley's got some real advantages. For one thing, he's an experienced elected official. He has been in the state house and has, you know, represented the city of Kalamazoo, largely the city of Kalamazoo, quite well. He kind of has a reputation as somebody who is personally quite liberal, but I think people look at him as somebody who is willing to work with almost anybody to try and accomplish his legislative goals. Now, quite frankly, he's been in the minority in the state legislature, and so if you want to accomplish anything in the minority, you've got to work with other people. But I think even outside of his elected service, I think that's kind of the reputation that he's tried to cultivate. He's also been quite successful raising money for this campaign. He's raised over $1 million. That's money that is useful not only in winning the Democratic nomination, but it's useful for establishing some name recognition outside of the city of Kalamazoo, where he is fairly well known. And trying to reach voters in the rest of the district. So I think all of those things certainly work to his advantage. She doesn't have those advantages. She hasn't raised very much money. She doesn't have the same electoral experience that he has. And that's going to make it an uphill challenge for any candidate.
Yeah, I agree completely with what John said. And he's got John Hoadley has the name recognition. He's broadly popular within the area. And when you have that kind of baseline going into a race, that's very helpful. Now, the question that John alluded to is how do you spread the word beyond Kalamazoo proper? Because most of the voters in the district are not in Kalamazoo. So in this case, the Democrats then leverage the fact that a large number of Democrats are in Kalamazoo. You have another pocket over in the lakeside of the district. But really trying to take advantage of that is something that I think that he can do more effectively because he has the money. So his money isn't like this magic thing that just all of a sudden makes you more viable. It's what the money allows you to do, right? It's a fungible resource that can be converted into the things that matter, the communications, the visual advertising that we see, not just on the web, but also yard signs and billboards and things like that, which in a time in which, going back again to the COVID situation, there's just an inherent advantage to being able to do those things, to purchase those vehicles for communication when the face-to-face grassroots politics that are so central to elections, especially congressional and state legislative races, you just can't do it the way that you have for the last 150 years. And so it's going to matter a lot having that resource to just have a fundamental advantage over an under-resourced opponent. That said, I'm glad to see a science teacher in the race. That's net good all the way around.
How important do you think, and this question applies to both primaries, Republican and Democratic, how important are issues between candidates in a primary? Because you know, over the years, I think I have noticed, I think you've probably noticed that, you know, people in one party, you know, may have, you know, very minor sort of nuanced differences on one issue or another, but, you know, they're in broad agreement. So, you know, how is the voter to make a decision?
Well, I think part of it is just old school campaign principles of making any kind of a comparison between any candidate and another candidate. It's a question about policy for sure. But then when you're talking about within the Democratic Party, within the Republican Party, you have other issues that come to the fore. You've got questions about electability, right? So in the fall, who is best positioned to compete with whoever the other party's candidate is going to be? You've got competence that is demonstrated through one's electoral record or one's business acumen or whatever. So people are asked to evaluate not just issues, but does this person seem like somebody who could competently do the job and could win? And then use those as rules of thumb or metrics for the things that you don't know about in terms of not actually having a record in the case of Ms. Richardson, or in terms of not having the resources. Those kinds of things matter a lot. It's not just issues. And we know that emotion plays an awful lot in any kind of campaign. And so the extent to which there's a candidate can generate a strong feeling of affect or loyalty within the party. And here's where I think Hoadley definitely has an advantage, because he's done the yeoman's work year after year for the party here in Kalamazoo County. And so I think that that helps him with the loyalties within the primary.
You know, one of the things that is often interesting in primaries, because you've got candidates competing for the nomination of one party, is that we sometimes focus on very small policy differences and really exaggerate them. If we compare a typical Democratic candidate to a typical Republican candidate, they're going to differ on lots and lots and lots and lots of issues. Oftentimes, candidates running for the same party's nomination might have one or two key differences. But the fact of the matter is that they're likely to be in agreement on almost everything else. And so those key differences can be important if they're sort of salient issues, issues that matter to a lot of people. But in the grand scheme of things, oftentimes those issue differences are kind of exaggerated. And it really can be all of those other things that Peter mentioned that come into play. We see that in these kinds of races, congressional races, where sometimes the candidates are not evenly matched in terms of their background and experience and name recognition and so on and so forth. We see that in races for presidential nominations, when candidates are oftentimes on a much more equal footing on all of those other things. And so it's certainly the case that those issue differences can make a difference in primaries. But where we really see the difference is in the general election, where Republicans and Democrats are just different and have different ideas about public policy.
At the national level, some incumbents have already lost primaries, mostly on the Democratic side and mostly to challengers who could loosely be called progressive. Do you think that no matter which party we're talking about, is there an anti-incumbent sort of sentiment out there? Mr. Hoadley is not an incumbent for Congress, but he is in elective office. So are people just shying away from people who actually do have long legislative records?
I think that can be a concern for candidates, but I think it's especially a concern for candidates when they've been in office for a long time, but their districts have changed during that time. And so the most recent example in New York City is one where you've got a long-term member of Congress, but the district that he's running in now, demographically, is quite different than the district that first elected him. And here in the 6th Congressional District, it's sort of the same. It's certainly changed a little bit over time. But we're basically talking about the same set of folks who've been voting for Fred Upton for quite a long time now. And I think that makes it difficult within the Republican primary for sure to try and unseat him. The general election might be a little bit different. The ways in which the district has changed over time, it's changed in a somewhat Democratic direction. And so it's probably become more competitive than it was when Fred first was elected. But I think in some ways that's a concern for incumbents. It's probably going to be more of a concern nationwide after the redistricting after this election cycle, than it is right now. And yet there's no guarantee that an incumbent will win either the nomination or the general election.
Right. I mean, incumbents tend to be odds-on favorites, right? 95% of the time, the incumbent who is running is going to win re-election. But you do have these years in which sometimes there's a sufficient anti-incumbent sentiment that happens on a broader scale, even though this can happen in any given district almost any time. But in that case, you have the kinds of things that John was talking about, where the district has really drifted away from the member. The member has really drifted away from the district, or there's some kind of a substantial scandal. And we simply haven't seen really any of that with regard to at least the Republican base within the 6th district. There doesn't seem to be a real reason to think that Fred Upton really would face a serious challenge in the primary. But you have a national wave in Michigan. The Democratic Party tends to be, if they're very, very excited, if they get really turn out the vote, they get their base out, they're able to hammer home an anti-Trump, anti-Republican message. You know, his last few elections, he's only won by 5, 6, 7 points. And then you're talking about changing the outcome really by half of that in order to flip the district. So, I mean, I think it's something that's eminently possible for the general election, even if there is not a massive anti-Upton kind of movement in the district. It's just being part of an anti-Trump wave. If it materializes, that could hurt marginal Republicans all over the country.
You know, one of the things that I'm going to be paying attention to in the 6th district, in the general election at least, is whether or not here at Western, we have students coming back to Kalamazoo. It's going to be possible for many of our students to stay as students without having to physically relocate to Kalamazoo and to Kalamazoo County. And if it turns out to be the case that many of them are voting at home rather than voting in Kalamazoo, that could have a pretty important impact on what could be a very close congressional race. At this point, you know, there are lots of other things that are going to matter as well. And it could be that by the time we get to Election Day, the race isn't close for whatever reason. But if it is close, that's certainly something that I'll be paying attention to. Not that that college students necessarily are more likely to vote for Democrats always. But I think here where you've got, you know, the potential for sort of generational change with this congressional seat, I think that's something that might appeal to some relatively younger voters, college student age voters, who maybe haven't thought a lot about politics in the past, but see the opportunity to create some generational change, voting for somebody that's much closer to them in age rather than somebody that's been in Washington for a long time.
Yeah, you know, I think that question about whether students actually are in Kalamazoo or not, when people are casting votes, Matt, will make a big difference in terms of what happens here in Kalamazoo County in November. Because when we think about the extent to which we have voter turnout among our students, so I think if I'm recalling from the last couple of elections, we're talking about a few thousand votes that are in the precincts that are predominantly college Western students. That are around the campus. And, you know, if 75% of them would have voted Democrat and most of them aren't here, most of them are dispersed in their permanent addresses around the state, you know, that is, what, 1,500 votes or 2,000 votes fewer for the Democratic candidate in this district and in a tight race. That could make the difference.
Pete Wehlhauer and John Clark are political scientists and professors at Western Michigan University. Thank you again both for taking time to be with us today.
Always a pleasure, Andy.
You're very welcome.